about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking briefly in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is a guide, that is our counselor, our encourager, your word that basically gives us the opportunity to hear from you, to hear your heart and your mind every single day. Lord, with every passing day, more and more help us to fall more in love with you, with your word, and help us to become more the faithful hearers and doers of your word, believers that are hearing your heart and walking its wisdom each and every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession again. I'm Pastor Parker and want to remind you, too, that we want to encourage you to take time to go to our website, AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Also, you can download the AFR app as well. And that way you can take American Family Radio with you anywhere you may choose to go. Hope you'll take time to do that. If you happen to miss a broadcast that you wanted to hear, or you want to go back and listen again, you can go to the website and look and listen to the podcasts that are found there on the website. Hope you'll take time to do that. Also, keep in mind, you can always stay up to date in the latest in our culture and what's going on in our culture as you go to the One News Now website or One News Now app as well and listen to the news source that they are excellent. In fact, I believe one of, if not the best news source in our nation. You can use the One News Now mobile app as well. It neatly categorizes news and articles from the One News Now website in an easy-to-find format. And keep in mind, the One News Now mobile app is free, and you can download it from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time to do that. We are blessed to have as our phone guest today, Reverend Terry Gensimer. He's on the staff of Church of the Reconciler in Birmingham, Alabama. And also, he's the director of the ministry, Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life. Reverend Gensimer, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Reverend Parker, and it's good to get to talk to you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing about the work you do. I want to ask if you'll take a moment to tell our listeners a little bit more about both yourself, what you do, and also tell them about the ministry, Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about myself. I lived a good part of my life away from the Lord, running from the Lord, running from His mercy and His grace and love. And my wife was saved, and her and I had separated when I was in this state of mind and really not listening to the Lord. And she prayed for me, and for 4.5 years, she prayed that God would restore us. And over 30 years ago, God did restore our marriage and ourselves back to my family, my children, and now my grandchildren. And so we've experienced the grace of God in a mighty way when the Lord just brought me to my knees and surrendered to Him. And so it wasn't long after that I went to Bible College and the Church of God and from Cleveland, Tennessee, and started a little church in the inner city of Birmingham. And eventually, we became a non-denominational church, and we were surrounded by 5 abortion clinics at that time, and the Lord just put it on my heart to begin going after those clinics and praying. And the pro-life, now I'm giving you a short version, the pro-life ministry was important to me, and so eventually, since that time, really, I've always been involved in pro-life ministry, and whether it's praying out on the sidewalks, and then now has joined this denomination in 1997, and we have a very pro-life denomination, and thankfully they wanted to have a national and international voice for life, so... Mm-hmm. I was chosen to be the director of that, and I've done that, and also pastored a church here in Birmingham for the last, since 1998.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I've been a pastor here in Birmingham, and then also now working for my denomination.
All righty.
So much work.
And the Charismatic Episcopal Church is, it's not affiliated with the Episcopal Church per se, it's a denomination to itself, correct?
Yes. It's a communion, a denomination that's separate from the Episcopal Church. We have many churches in our denomination that formerly were in the Episcopal Church, but eventually came into our communion.
I see. Okay, then. Well, a part of our time today, we wanted to talk about specifically an item that's called the Birmingham Proclamation. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment now. Tell our listeners what the Birmingham Proclamation is and what its mission is.
Yes. Birmingham Proclamation is the result of one of the missions that we work on in Birmingham is to bring unity into the body of Christ, bring the pastors and denominations into the fight for the sanctity of life. And through that, this past year, we just had a great increase in the pastors that were involved, that wanted to get involved, that were ready to just say, "Hey, we're behind you, we're with you." And so we had several meetings, and this really occurred over a couple of years. And when we got together, one of the missions that we felt that everyone felt together that we needed to do was to make this proclamation, to have a statement from the shepherds of our city of where we stand on the issue of life. Mm-hmm. And so we had several pastors. We chose a committee it started with 20 pastors and 60 and 100. Mm-hmm. And out of that group, we had 4 pastors that from different areas of the Christian faith that worked to put this proclamation together, which really proclamation. We're proclaiming to our city, to our community, and to the world what we believe about the sanctity of life. And so we came up with this document, and then finally, on the 2nd of October of this year, we went to Montgomery, Alabama, and we took a document. They're called the Birmingham Proclamation, and we went to several offices in Montgomery, to the Attorney General's office, to the Lieutenant Governor's office, to the Alabama Department of Public Health, and a couple of other places there, and we presented them with this proclamation.
Okay.
From the pastors. We took local pastors with us to do that. And then we came back to Birmingham, and we did a press conference in both of the cities in Montgomery and Montgomery.
Okay.
Came back to Birmingham, did a press conference the next day, which was a powerful press conference. And that in Birmingham especially, there was a lot of opposition. So people came out and heckled us and yelled and tried to keep us from even talking to the media. Just screaming, yelling in our faces. It actually pushed one of the reporters. And, you know, it was just it was antagonistic, and we just kept praying and depending on the grace of God as we had different speakers come up, different pastors, and proclaim what we were doing and had a media event. And it went well. And then we went into the mayor's office to give a copy to the mayor. And the mayor of Birmingham didn't want to... He informed us beforehand that he did not agree with us on this, that he was very pro-choice. And so, but we said, well, we're presenting what we as pastors, over 100 pastors that had signed it, that were from every walk of the Christian life, black churches, white churches, Anglican, Catholic, Baptist, you know, you name it, Presbyterian. Non-denominational churches that all these pastors had signed on, and we just said, we just want you to know what we're out here to proclaim, what we believe as shepherds of our city.
Okay. Okay.
And so we did that, and we just presented these. We were very polite and respectful, and we did present the proclamation.
Okay. Well, Reverend Gensimer, before we move forward, I want to take a moment to pray for you all, for the work you've done and the seeds that you've planted in doing what you've done. And then I just want to ask you a few questions related to your experience thus far. Father, we thank you for Reverend Gensimer. Thank you for all those pastors and all the believers that were a part of this important project, the Birmingham Proclamation. Thank you for your hand of grace upon this project, and thank you for your mercy at work through it. Lord, anoint the project with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Be glorified through it. Use it, Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus and to proclaim life, Lord. And I pray that you use it to stir the hearts of many people, both in Birmingham and in Alabama and all over our nation and the world, to recognize the need for the church to boldly stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion, and to boldly proclaim that in your word you tell us, choose life that we and our children may live. Lord, thank you for the work they've done. Lord, prosper it, expand, bless the whole project indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Reverend Gensimer, you know, again, I would just say this up front. I really appreciate you all listening to the heart of God in doing such a thing. And it's my hope that many others will listen and learn from what you all have done. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Reverend Terry Gensimer. He's the director of Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life. We'll be right back.
Desert sands to the place we stand. He's
Of Chris August, the song Starry Night. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Reverend Terry Gensimer. He's the director of Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life, a pro-life ministry. He's based in Birmingham, Alabama. And today we're talking about the Birmingham Proclamation, a powerful tool that believers in the Birmingham, Alabama community put together to proclaim that Birmingham is to seek to be a city that stands for life. Reverend Gensimer, let me ask you this now, and tell me if I understood correctly. Did I understand correctly that part of the goal behind the proclamation was to proclaim, to make a specific statement that Birmingham was a city of refuge for babies? Did I understand that correctly?
Well, yeah, we call it a sanctuary city.
A sanctuary city,
you know,
okay.
We've heard that term, of course, in other issues. Mostly proclaimed by civil governments, mm-hmm. that proclaim their city a sanctuary for certain individuals, whatever that might be.
Okay.
But we've done this proclaiming that as the pastors and the shepherds of our city, mm-hmm. with spiritual authority, not civil authority, but spiritual authority, mm-hmm. in our city, representing, we have more than 200 churches now that have signed on. But these they represent thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not 100,000 mm-hmm. people in the area, in the metropolitan area of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And we say that we proclaim ourselves to be a sanctuary, our city to be a sanctuary city for mothers who are pregnant and for children that are in the womb. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we use that term, and even though it's not a legal term, it's a spiritual term.
That's right.
We're going to move forward with that and exactly what that means. Mm. But yes, we certainly, that's part of our proclamation.
Well, praise God for that. You know, Reverend Gensimer, that part of what that brings to my mind is the fact that you all represent the Church of Jesus Christ that has taken its responsibility to speak for the body of Christ and to speak for the kingdom of God, God's heart. And that is so important. And I think that's a wonderful idea to declare that you're a sanctuary city for babies. I believe every city in the nation ought to do the same thing, because the fact is the church does carry more authority if we would but understand that truth, because we carry the authority of the name of Jesus behind us. So praise God for what
Amen.
You all have done and just the courage that you've shown in doing what we're called to do. And, of course, you know, some of the things you shared demonstrate the fact that this is spiritual warfare. You know, that's just the reality behind it. And now, you mentioned that, for example, the mayor had told you up front he didn't support this, right?
Right. Well, initially, he actually had agreed to have a meeting where we were going to bring some pastors, four or five of the pastors that signed on, mm-hmm. and wanted to meet with the mayor and just hand him the proclamation and express, you know, our views. And again, respectfully, understanding, he's made his position known,
right,
mm-hmm. publicly. So it wasn't to try to confront or demonstrate or do a protest. It was to simply let him know that there are pastors in our city, shepherds, that represent many, many thousands of people, mm-hmm. and that this is our belief, and we wanted our voices to be heard. And so he initially agreed to that meeting, and then I think one of his assistants had read the proclamation and called us immediately and said, you know, I don't think the mayor's going to be able to meet with you. Mm-hmm. But we had a good dialogue with the assistant, mm-hmm. and asked for, you know, the possibility of after he spoke with us, he was very kind and said, you know, there's a possibility that we could down the road have some dialogue. And that's something that we want to do if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so that's something to pray for, to pray that. Because, you know, we do believe that God can change people's hearts.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
So that's one of our goals,
mm-hmm.
to reach the city more. And we are actually planning a presentation of the proclamation to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using the group the Students for Life here in Birmingham at the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to join with Students for Life and attend a council meeting and offer a copy of the proclamation and explanation of it to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get that word to our city that there are people out here that represent a lot of others.
That's right.
Really care about the sanctity of human life and care about women,
mm-hmm.
care about the Black community, because I'm sure you're aware of the amount of the percentage of the Black community that's affected by the issue of abortion.
That's right.
And we have several Black pastors. And in fact, one of the pastors that spoke at our City Hall press conference was actually in the 16th Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
when it was bombed here in Birmingham. These are people that are have credibility in the community,
mm-hmm.
and integrity, and that are walking in this with us, and we're thankful for that.
Right. Now, you mentioned you had a press conference both in Montgomery and in Birmingham as well, and in Birmingham,
right.
in particular, you mentioned there were hecklers, there were people that were just clearly coming against what you were doing during that time. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. And it's reminiscent of what, if you look at sometimes different speakers have appeared at universities here,
mm-hmm.
in the United States and were heckled and shouted down if they're, if they're pro-life or if they're conservative, then they don't, they're not even allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they attempted to do with us, to really silence us. And I've experienced that before, but some of the pastors that were with us had never experienced that kind of opposition. They never
right.
had seen that kind of anger,
mm-hmm. right.
Spewing from people. It was actually demonic,
right.
to be honest. It was,
right.
again, the spiritual warfare that you talked about, it becomes very visible.
Right, right. If someone wants to find out more about, well, if they want to get a copy of the Birmingham Proclamation, mm-hmm. what is your website where they can learn more about the whole project?
Yes. The website is www.cecforlife, spelled out, CECFORLIFE, one word, .com, CECforlife.com.
Okay.
And there's a downloadable copy there on our website.
Okay. And so they can learn more about it. Now, as far as signers, the people that signed it are basically, of course, people that live in the Birmingham community, correct?
Right. And when we talk about Birmingham, it's like any other city. I don't actually live in the city limits of Birmingham. I live
greater Birmingham, basically.
The city, but it's the metropolitan area. In fact,
right.
that's what we concentrate on. Because most people that are in this area, whether they live in the city limits of Birmingham, they say they're from Birmingham. Birmingham is our city.
Right, the Birmingham community, basically.
It's the mother of our community, yeah.
Right, right. Well, I want to ask Reverend Gensimer, if you'll take time to pray for listeners in it, because I believe a lot of believers need to do the same, should do the same thing in their town or their community as well, to courageously and boldly bring together the Christian community and make the same kind of proclamation for their community, because we need to stand for life. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, choose life. And that's a clear directive from the Lord. And And so would you pray that believers will begin to see the need to do the same kind of thing in their own communities?
Yes, and I will. And Pastor, I want to emphasize, I'm going to pray this. And one of the keys of this happening was, you know, for years, we've had a lot of people in the Birmingham area that have been pro-life, stood with us in a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. But we particularly have prayed for the pastors, and that's what I want to pray for.
Okay.
Because when the pastors started coming on board, things started to really happen. So let's just pray.
Okay.
Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to share, Lord, what you put on my heart. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry, Reverend Parker, the outreach, the way that God that you amplified your message throughout this country. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for more cities to, even as they read this document, Lord, that it's also a document of repentance, of things that we've not done right in the past. And but then it's a proclamation. And Lord, we ask that, God, that you would raise up people and pastors and ministries and cities all across the country that would declare themselves, declare their churches to be sanctuaries for mothers that are pregnant, that feel like they have nowhere to go and no way out of a difficult situation. We pray, God, that churches would become sanctuaries for them, for the children and the women that have no voice at all, that they have no voice, Lord, and except as they cry out in their way, in their hearts, in their spirits to you for their own lives, Lord. And so we cry out for them, and we ask that, God, that you would raise up people and raise up pastors, Lord, all over this country that would say that, that as some of the pastors have done with us, Lord, that just repent and say, look, I've missed you, Lord.
Yes.
And I just pray, God, you grip their hearts and show them, Lord, that this is so important in every aspect of our life, that we respect human life from conception to death, until death, Lord. So I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and grip our hearts, grip the heart of our nation, Lord, that we may repent and we may turn to you on this issue, and that we may see you bring revival throughout our nation, that many, many would come to you, Lord, and many lives would be saved. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend Gensimer. Want to mention, one more time, if you'll share the website again for people that want to get more information about the Birmingham Proclamation and the Ministry of Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life as well. What is the website again?
Yes, it is www.cecforlife.com. Spelled out cecforlife.com, cecforlife.com, and you'll find a copy of the proclamation and some information of how it came about. There's several articles on there that you can read that would help people understand how this came about, because it truly was the work of the Lord.
Right. Okay. Well, how would you like listeners to pray for you and the ministry as well, and the movement?
Well, pray for us to, as we walk together, that, you know, the enemy won't really get a place to divide us, because, you know, it's easy for the enemy to just kind of step in and try to cause confusion. And we just pray that the enemy would be confused, and that God would direct our path, that God would give us ears to hear and eyes to see.
Okay.
What he's doing and his purposes in our city, and not just in our city, but across the country.
That's right. That's right. Well, our time is almost gone for this segment. And of course, I know you'll be won't be with us for the last segment, but thank you for your time, Reverend Gensimer. I want to just say a brief word of prayer for you and the ministry as well as the project before you go. Father, thank you, Lord, for Reverend Gensimer. Thank you for the Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life ministry. And thank you, Lord, for the Birmingham Proclamation and the tool that it is to help stand for life and help proclaim your word and the power of your word. You told us clearly in one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. And Lord, I pray that you'll amplify that message mightily, both through the Birmingham Proclamation and mainly through your word, Lord, to make it clear and help the church and our culture to clearly understand that you've told us, don't take innocent life. and help us to not take that lightly, but stir us, Lord, to be the bold and courageous church, standing up for your word, never being ashamed, never being fearful of the fact that your word is always right. It's in the best interest of everyone, and it's the way that we bring life and blessing to our individual lives, our families' lives, our culture, our nation, our world. Help us to boldly be the church you want us to be. Anoint this ministry, empower it, use it, Lord, to really just start a powerful work, Lord, that will touch the world and bless the world. And Lord, like the courage that these believers have shown, help us. And like Shipra and Pua in Exodus chapter 1, help us to be the courageous representatives and ambassadors for your kingdom that you want us to be. Thank you for the wonderful way your word stirs us and encourages us to be reps. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Reverend Gensimer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for letting us be on there and sharing what's going on here and praying for our nation.
All right. You be blessed. Pray much for that ministry as well. We'll be right back after this break. Music of Dunson Oyekan, the song simply entitled Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our guest earlier on the broadcast was Reverend Terry Gensimer. He's the director of the ministry Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life. And he serves in that capacity, a great ministry that's doing a great work. And we were talking about the Birmingham Proclamation. I would encourage you to go to their website again. Their website was www.cecforlife.com and take a look at the Birmingham Proclamation. For every single listener, I would encourage you to prayerfully ask the Lord what he would have you to do in your community. Keep in mind, the whole idea of what they've done in the Birmingham community, I think, is a wonderful and a tremendous idea, making a clear statement that the church stands for life in their community. And what a great idea for every church community in every city and town to do the same kind of thing, to take a clear stand for life and against abortion. I'm reminded of the passage that I read earlier in the broadcast in Exodus chapter 1. Keep in mind, it's a situation where two precious young women who, apparently young ladies who were just doing their job, but they loved the Lord. And they decided they were going to stand up for what was right. Again, in Exodus chapter 1, I want to share it once again, but I want you to listen to the details. Again, these persons didn't have any position of great prominence, and they were living in a foreign country working under the hand of a strong foreign government. but they clearly decided to courageously and boldly stand up for what they knew to be right and see how God used them wonderfully. Again, reading Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Again, verses 15 through 22 of Exodus chapter 1. Now, this story is a simple but powerful story. Two young women who were midwives, it appears two young Hebrew women that served in the capacity of midwives. In other words, midwives were women who helped to deliver babies. They stood in the place, weren't exactly doctors, but they helped to deliver babies. Well, it seems that apparently they had the responsibility of helping to deliver the Hebrew babies, but it seems apparently they helped to deliver Egyptian babies as well. Well, notice, though, when they realize that the king has given them a command to kill the Hebrew boys, they clearly decide this is not right because it's not the will of God to kill our precious baby boys, and we are not going to do it. And they refuse to do what the Pharaoh had clearly told them to do. Well, at some point, Pharaoh realized the baby boys were not being killed, and how intimidating that situation potentially could have been for them as they're called before Pharaoh, who was about to demand from them why his orders were not being carried out. But keep in mind, because they trusted God and chose to do what God wanted them to do, notice how God wonderfully and graciously delivers them through this situation. In verse 18, Pharaoh demands the answer, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And notice how Shipra and Puah respond. Their response is, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. God in his grace and mercy and wisdom gave them insight and wisdom to outsmart Pharaoh. They more or less told Pharaoh, you know, the Hebrew women are healthier than the Egyptian women, and they just birth those babies before we get there. And what does Pharaoh respond to that? What does Pharaoh know about birthing babies? Nothing upon nothing. And what could he say? He has no background in that. And so, basically, again, they outsmart Pharaoh. Verse 20 says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. This passage powerfully illustrates the scripture that tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When we're willing to courageously and graciously hear the word of God and obey it, God will bless us in our obedience. Shipra and Puah courageously and boldly stood up for what was right, and God not only delivered them, but blesses them. The passage goes on to explain that God blesses them with husbands and families of their own because of their obedience and their seeking to honor God and their seeking to walk in the fear of the Lord. When you and I stand up for what's right, God will bless you and he will use your witness. Now, some listening might think, well, Pharaoh just changed strategies. He decided to have them to throw the babies in the river. Well, that's true, but keep in mind, apparently, Shipra and Puah were used by the Lord to save some of the babies. And keep in mind, probably Shipra and Puah helped to save the life of a precious little baby boy named Moses. So God used Shipra and Puah wonderfully. And so keep in mind, whenever you stand up for the word of God and stand up for right, it always makes a difference. No matter who knows or doesn't know about it, God knows it. And God will use your witness of standing for what's right and standing against the wrong and the wickedness of this world. My challenge to every single listener is that you too, like Shipra and Puah, be a courageous voice speaking, you know, speaking for the word of God and standing on the word of God. Be a courageous witness for Jesus Christ. Share your faith. Tell others about salvation. Tell them about how God has answered your prayer. Be a bold witness for Jesus Christ in any and all circumstances, but also be a bold witness for life. Don't compromise. You know, the word of God has told us, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. There's never a case where abortion is the will of God, because God says, choose life. And so as believers, we should courageously and boldly stand for life and stand for what the word of God has clearly told us. Sadly, we live in a world where too many people who say they know and love Jesus are willing to say it's okay in some situations to abort babies. And we need to remember, God is not schizophrenic. God's word is clear. He says, you shall not murder. God doesn't change his word. God wants us to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. How tragic it is when people who say they love the Lord Jesus stand for a wicked thing like the taking of the innocent life of precious children. How important it is in our day and life and in this culture it is for us to courageously stand up for what we know to be right. Again, Shipra and Pua stand as wonderful role models for believers today. Courageously stand up for what you know to be the word and the will of God. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this was before the Hebrews had the Ten Commandments. Now, this was before the commandment that says you shall not murder was put into the hands of the Hebrew people. Well, so how did they know that it was the will of God that we stand for life and against abortion? They knew it in their heart. And I want you to keep this in mind, too. As human beings, we have it in our, by the grace of God, it's in our heart. We know that taking innocent life is wrong. We really, really know that. But the fact is, there are many that want to deny it for different reasons, for convenience reasons, for reasons that allow them to do what they want to do. So many people are being deceived, but they're okay with being deceived because it allows them to live a lifestyle that they want to live. But the fact is, the word of God is clear. It says, you shall not murder. You shall not take innocent life. It's important that we stand courageously for life. The other passage that we read is found in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, here too, we find the thieves who beat up the man and left him half dead on the side of the road. They beat him up and left him on the side of the road there. And along came a priest, and then along came a Levite. Well, there are three different kinds of people in this passage. One is the thieves. They were the ones that beat up the man and left him on the side of the road. And most believers know that's the wrong way to live. We're not to be beating up people and hurting them. Well, many basically know that. And so as believers, we pretty much know that we should shun living that kind of lifestyle. But the second example is the example of the priest and the Levite. Sadly, too many people that say they love the Lord fall in the category of the priest and the Levite. They see the problems of the world, but they pass them by and don't do much of anything. That is not the response God calls his church to. The third example is the one we need to listen and learn from, the Samaritan. When he saw the man beat up on the side of the road, unlike the priest who saw him and passed him by on the other side, unlike the Levite who passed him by and saw him, just left him on the side of the road and passed him on by. Again, we're to be like the Samaritan. God calls us. In fact, Jesus tells us at the end of this segment, he says, go and do likewise. In other words, go and live the lifestyle of the Good Samaritan, a lifestyle of reaching out to those who are hurt and being beat up by the world and left on the side of the road for dead. Well, I think in this, as we look at this topic, and in relation to the truths behind the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the babies are like the man left on the side of the road. Too many people who say they love the Lord are being like the priest and the Levite. They're passing them by. They're looking at the problem. They're looking at the injury, but they pass them by on the other side, doing nothing to help the injured individual. These precious babies are being destroyed. And the fact is, too many people that say they love the Lord aren't doing what we really are called to do. Notice again what it says the Samaritan did for the man on the side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. These precious babies are our neighbors. And God is calling us to reach out to them to compassionately and with passion. Do what we can to help end the tragedy of abortion. Every baby is our neighbor. Every baby that the devil wants to destroy in the womb, he or she is our neighbor. We're called to do our part. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to rise up and be your hands and feet in the world. Your hands and feet, your ambassadors who proclaim your truth. But not only do we proclaim it with our words and our mouths, we live it with our lives as well. Help us, Lord, to do whatever you want us to do to stand for life and to help support the ministries and the work, pregnancy clinic ministries and other ministries that help to save the lives of babies and keep babies from being destroyed by the tragedy of abortion. Help us to clearly understand that abortion is not your will, that you call us to stand for life and to support life and to stand against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to come alongside ministries, pregnancy clinics, and other ministries that are out there, and help us to do what you want us to do in our individual lives to be ambassadors for your kingdom, standing for life and against abortion. Thank you for the opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening today. And again, hope that you'll pray and ask the Lord as to what he'd have you to do to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.